you look at the message this morning, we're looking at Matthew chapter 1 and 2, Luke chapter 1 and 2, as we hear the Christmas story. We come this morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, and the Son of God. He grew up in Nazareth in an obscure village called, in a region called Galilee. He grew up as a carpenter, and at the age of 30, he launched his public ministry. And his life and his death forever changed our world as we know it. But his coming was not without a witness. In fact, the witness that was given by the early church was a witness given out of the Old Testament scriptures. And this morning, I want us to look briefly at some of the witnesses that were there in that very first Christmas concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. First of all, we see that the witness of the prophets was there. There were the prophets that were quoted often in the Old Testament. Matthew records some, Luke records some. But the prophets were used by those early Christians to understand that Jesus was the Messiah prophesied from the Old Testament. Let me just give you some examples of some of the witnesses of the prophets concerning who Jesus was. First of all, Isaiah had declared that this Messiah who would come would be virgin born. His virgin birth was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was born by Isaiah the prophet. He said in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And in Luke chapter 1, we see the fulfillment of that very prophecy that was given by Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus was born. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what the salutation meant. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever of the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? For I'm a virgin and I've never known a man." And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." So hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, the witness of the prophet Isaiah was that the Messiah would come and he would be born of a virgin. Even her husband Joseph knew this was the case, because in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 1, he discovered that Mary was pregnant. He knew it wasn't his child. And he wanted to put her away privately so as not to embarrass her. But the angel came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, take Mary to be your wife, for the child that is in her is a child that has been given to her by the Holy Spirit of God. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Joseph was obedient to what the angel told him to do. Not only was Jesus' virgin birth declared by the prophets, but also where he was going to be born was declared by the prophets. The place of his birth. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it said, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity." In Matthew chapter 2, we read about the wise men who were coming to see Jesus, to see the special king that was born, because they had seen his star in the east, and they had traveled for at least 2 years, it looks like. They had seen his star at least 2 years before, and they traveled this long journey to see this special child that was to be born. And they got to King Herod's palace, and they said, "Where's this Messiah, this king of the Jews that's supposed to be born? Where's he supposed to be born?" And King Herod, it upset him a little bit because he was jealous for his throne. And he wanted to know about this king of the Jews because he considered himself the king of the Jews. And so he called the prophets, the Old Testament prophets together, or the Old Testament religious leaders together, and they said, what do the prophecies say about this Jesus, where he is to be born? And they said, he is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And in Matthew chapter 2, it tells us that immediately the star appeared to the wise men after they left Herod, and they went to the place where the young child was living, and they worshipped him and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But as a result of that, Herod discovered that the king of Jews was going to be born, and he was jealous for his own throne, and so he desired to have the children killed. And that too, was prophesied in Scripture, because as a result of that, an angel appeared to Joseph and said, flee to Egypt and hide out there until the life of Jesus is spared, and then you can return. And that was prophesied as well in the Old Testament Scriptures in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Matthew 2 says, Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. He said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you've found him, report to me, that I may too come and worship him. Now, he had no desire to worship Jesus. He had a desire to take his life. But after hearing the king, they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house. They saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him, opening their treasures, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Hosea. Out of Egypt I call my son. Hosea 11, verse 1. Also, the death of babies was prophesied in the Old Testament. Matthew 2, 16 through 18. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and slew all the male children who in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. Out of Jeremiah 31, verse 15. There's another prophecy that was fulfilled. When Joseph returned from Egypt, you know where they went to live? Not in Jerusalem. That was the hubbub of activity. Not in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. They went to Nazareth, in the region of Galilee, an obscure village. It said, when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was now reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee. And he came and lived in a city called Nazareth. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Not one prophet, but many prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, if you look at that passage and that fulfillment, Nazareth was a place that was not very highly thought of. In fact, people from Nazareth were sort of ridiculed. To get to Nazareth, you had to go through Samaria. No self-respecting Jew wanted to go through Samaria. Galilee was separated from the rest of Judea, and so it was a place that was not very well liked by most Jews of their day. In fact, when you said you were from Nazareth, it was sort of like saying you were from some place that you were held with contempt, like maybe from Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky, I can say that. Nazareth was a place of contempt for most Jews, and those who lived there looked with disdain upon those who looked there, and they disrespected those who lived there. And this indeed is how Jesus was viewed in most of his life and ministry by the religious leaders of his day, with respect and with disdain. And it was prophesied, not in one of the prophets, but in many of the prophets, that this was how Jesus would be treated. And it was declared hundreds of years before his entrance into this world. When you look back at all the prophecies in the Old Testament, we don't have time to go through them all this morning, but in his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Josh McDowell lists 61 major Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled through the life and death of Jesus. 61 major prophecies out of the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the life and death of Jesus Christ. The prophets bear witness that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And they point to him as our hope, our help, and our salvation. And because of that witness, let us worship him. There was also the witness of the angels. On several occasions in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and again in Luke chapter 1 and 2, we see the witness of the angels as they came and announced to various characters in this story the birth of the Christ child. First of all, Gabriel spoke to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. We already read the passage. I'm not going to read it again. But she was amazed that she had been chosen. This little peasant girl, probably a teenager, she had been chosen to bear the Christ child. And it was unbelievable to her. It would have been unbelievable to anyone. How could you be pregnant without ever having known a man? And yet Mary just accepted by faith this message from the angel. Angel Gabriel came to her and spoke to her and bore witness that the child within her was the child of the Holy Spirit of the Holy God. So Gabriel spoke to Mary. Then we see that an angel spoke to Joseph. His name is not given, but some say it was Gabriel as well that came and spoke to Joseph. We don't know exactly who it was, but the word angel literally means messenger. And this messenger from God came to Joseph and said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit of God." And the Bible says he did exactly what the angel told him to do and took Mary to be his wife. So Gabriel spoke to Mary, the angel spoke to Joseph, but then there were the angels that spoke to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17, it said, "In the same region there were shepherds watching over the flocks at night." The passage that we read during the lighting of the candle this morning. Shepherds. Amazing. The angels came and spoke to the shepherds. Why not to the kings of the day? Why not to the religious leaders of the day? God chose shepherds to announce the birth of the Christ child to them. And the angels spoke to the shepherds, and the shepherds, "Let's go see this thing which has come to pass. Let's go see this child which has been born." The angels rejoiced at the announcement of Jesus' birth. We should rejoice as well. The Bible tells us when Jesus was born, heaven rejoiced. And God sent his heavenly messengers to announce the coming of the Christ child. What rejoicing there should be that Jesus came the first time. And you know what? We should rejoice as well. Let's do that right now.
Sounds of Christmas, hear the songs of hope.
Glory in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The angels sing this first, and then the people of God caught on, and they begin to shout it. In fact, if they had not begun to praise, the Bible tells us the rocks would have cried out. Of the prophets, the witness of the angel, there should be an outcome for that. And in this case, witness should always lead to worship. When we look at the witness of the prophets and the angels, we discover in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, there were several people there in that very first Christmas, and the witness they received led them to worship the Christ child. In this case, it was Mary and Joseph. They were there at that very first babe, or that very first Christmas, to see the babe born in a manger. And the Bible tells us they took in everything that the angels had said, that the prophets had spoken, and that the shepherds did and the wise men did. They took all that in and they recognized that Jesus was different. Jesus was unique. And even though Mary was his mother, she worshiped her son in a different way than most of us worship our children. Joseph, he realized Jesus was unique. And so Mary and Joseph was there in that very first Christmas to worship Jesus. There was also the angels. They are not left out of this worship experience. They came from heaven and they're on the hills of Bethlehem. They worshiped and sang glory to God in the highest. The Bible tells us we should pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. In God's kingdom in heaven, the angels are singing continuously about the glory of God and the priceless name of Jesus. Shouldn't we sing about it as well? The angels were there to worship in that very first Christmas, and we should worship him too. Then there were the shepherds. They were just the common people of the day, sitting out there at the campfire, watching the sheep, protecting the sheep from the animals, and it was probably just an ordinary Bethlehem night, and all of a sudden a bunch of angels woke them up from slumber, from campfire stories, and began to sing and announce the birth of this child. And the shepherds could not sit still. They could not remain at their campfire. They said, we have to go and see this display of God's goodness. And they found Mary and Joseph and that babe lying in a manger, and they worshiped him. Then there was the wise men. They came from afar, and they came, and they traveled as many as 2 years to get there to see Jesus. And the Bible says they gave him gifts worthy of a king, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were lavish gifts, expensive gifts. These were wealthy men, and they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord Jesus. And then shortly after his birth, as was the tradition of Jewish families, they had to take their son to the temple to dedicate him to God, to offer sacrifices in his behalf. And there was a couple there. They were not a couple in the sense of husband and wife. There was an older gentleman by the name of Simeon. He'd been praying and looking for the coming of the Christ child for quite some time. And that day, as Mary and Joseph walked into the temple to dedicate their child, the Spirit of God spoke to his heart and said, that's the child you've been looking for all the years of your life, Simeon. And Simeon took that child. I could just see a 90-year-old grandpa holding that baby in his hands, saying, thank you, God, that you've allowed me to see the Savior of the world. And he worshiped. And then there was an older lady. Her name was Anna. She too had been praying about the coming of the Christ child. And the Spirit of God spoke to her heart that this child that Mary and Joseph brought into the temple that day, this child was the Christ child. And she worshiped and rejoiced. When you think about this uncommon group that met to worship the Messiah, those who gathered to worship the Messiah in the beginning, it was small. It was an inconspicuous group, an unlikely group. They were not spiritual leaders. They were simply common people. Joseph was a carpenter. Mary was a peasant girl. Shepherds were the outcast of their day, working in one of the least valued occupations of their day. Nobody grew up saying, I want to be a shepherd when I grow up. And yet that's exactly who Jesus and or heaven announced the coming of Jesus the first time. There was an old man and an old woman in the temple who were respected by the people, but were probably widely unrecognized when people passed by them day by day. The most unusual worshipers were the wise men, but they were foreign kings who, evidently though very rich, were still obscure and unrecognizable to the Jewish populace. It is an unlikely group to whom God chose to reveal the Savior of the world. But as others began to witness the life and work of Jesus, the response was always the same: accept him as Messiah, or reject him as a false prophet and false teacher. You see, God has given us the witness of the prophets, the witness of His Word, the witness of the angels. And the response to that witness should be one of two things. Either worship Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or reject Him. I hope you choose to accept Jesus as your Lord, as your Messiah, as your Savior. For those who accept Him, the response is to bow down and worship Him. And that should be our response as well.
Here I am to worship, here I am.
Called the Son of Righteousness, the bright and morning star, the day spring of life. Names that were given to him by the prophets before and after his birth, about his power to illuminate the lost souls of this life. One name he was given, the everlasting light, says it better than all of them. Once the joy of his salvation dawns within a heart, it will last forever. It can never be extinguished, and it cannot be contained.
I couldn't see the sun rise through the shadow. Seem to find a soul to care. The light of a million mornings filled my heart. The sound of a million angels sang my song. The warmth of a love so tender touched my life.
Light of the world has come, and he wants to bring us peace, hope, joy, and love. We pray that his presence has dawned in you today, or that maybe he has rekindled the joy that was already there. Now let us join our voices as a testimony to the power of his light in our lives, and let's let his light shine in us and through us until he comes again.
Of glory.
the end of our music, but that's not the end of our service, because we now extend an invitation to you to respond to God's walk, to God's word, that you may change your walk according to his word. And so we invite you to come this morning. If you feel like God has spoken to your heart, you'd like to become a part of our fellowship, we'll talk to you about how to do that. If you'd like to renew your commitment to Christ, we'll talk to you about how to do that. Brother Jim will be here at the front. I'll be here at the front. If you'd like to invite Christ into your life, you realize for the first time this morning that there's a dark place in your heart and you have not trusted Christ as your Messiah, as your Lord, we'd like to have the opportunity to talk to you about how you can make him your personal Savior and Lord. So the choir is going to sing. We're going to ask you to stand, and to the degree that you know the words, sing with them, and you come as God speaks to your heart during this invitation time.